You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade on RadioArian.com.
It's already Tuesday. You know what that means. Once again, time for the Church of the Lampshade. Grandpa Lampshade joining you once again. This is installment number 12 of the new show, and it's kind of come together well. I'm enjoying it. Hopefully, y'all are getting something out of it as well. It's my understanding we're just about back up to the same levels of listenership as the old Thoughts of the Day program, which is somewhat encouraging. We'll take our white pills where we get them. Again, thank you for joining us this week. We're going to be, of course, we'll have our visit before we get into our sermon this week. We'll have a bit from the word. We're going to continue our Meaning of Life series as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes. We started that last week. We're going to go ahead and continue that this week, but I think we'll also have time maybe to touch on some other stuff as we look at these days that we deal with in these end times, these ended end times. As always, I want to give a shout out and say a thank you to those who continue to support what we're trying to do here. I want to especially thank all five of you who've sent support this past week. It really is appreciated. And I'm grateful for the opportunity when I get to email y'all back when y'all have an email address in there, and I get to personally thank you, at least personally as we can through email. And I really do appreciate it. I always tell people that, and when I email y'all and stuff, I tell you that I really do appreciate it. And I'm always afraid that it just kind of sounds empty, you know, like when you send something to a political campaign and they send you like this form letter back, you know, thank you for your continued support for Senator Jones or whatever, you know. I'm always afraid it's going to sound something like that. I really do appreciate it. It's an elite club. I mean, we do have thousands of listeners each week, and five of you found it worth supporting with your hard-earned money, and I do very much appreciate it. Believe me, there's times that the fact that I hear from y'all and your notes that you put in there and such are the only thing that keeps me saying, you know, let's go ahead and do this one more week. Let's keep at this work that's been laid before us. All the information, if you want to be a part of that, it's down at the bottom of the description page, P.O. Box and whatnot. You can put it legal fund. You can put it box holder. It doesn't really matter. P.O. Box 6621 Granbury, Texas 76049. The legal stuff is moving so incredibly slow that we're pretty much at the point I'm going to have to start dipping into that money just to keep the lights on. But I do appreciate it. We are moving forward on that front. It's just really, really slow to the point that it's it just is what it is. Feel free if you want to drop an email, grandpalampshade1@gmail.com. Also, some fairly exciting news. I've finished up my second book. So if you want a copy of that, when you send in your support, be sure and drop an email address and remind me you would like a copy of that second book. It's on the modern church and Christianity. Imagine that, from the Reverend Lampshade. So be sure and drop that in there. I'll be sure and get you a free PDF copy of that. So glad y'all could join us this week. And as we get into our pre-sermon visit, one of the things that was in the news this past week is that Facebook has announced that, you know, they're going to go ahead and double down on even more bannings, which this should come as a shock and a surprise to absolutely nobody. They're banning even more regular people. Like, I was never on Facebook, by the way, but regular people been banned for some time from Facebook, but they've gone ahead and banning more high profile people, but they're gonna go ahead and double down on banning. I wish they would just go on out, just ban Trump, ban everybody, just do it, faggots. Yeah, they're so they're doubling down on more bannings. Somehow they get to enjoy a blanket protection from liability of content on their platform because they're supposed to be, you know, serving as like the public square where free speech is practiced, and yet they get to edit the content on their platform. They use the usual bullshit excuses of, oh, and that was those who promote violence. I'm looking at these prominent people that they're banning, and I'm not really sure exactly where those people have ever promoted violence. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. You know, what violence is hurting their feelings. Violence is speaking any sort of truth. I'm doing a quick look at some of the names that they banned. Alex Jones. Alex Jones banned off of Facebook. I don't know. I can't help it. I'm not going to shed too many tears for Alex Jones. I mean, don't worry. He's still going to manage to make millions by not mentioning anybody except the Illuminati and, you know, secret societies. Don't worry. He's going to miraculously continue to make $1 million off of penis pills or whatever. So Alex will be okay. You don't need to feel too bad for Alex. Be sure to keep naming anybody like the Illuminati or whoever. So, you know, there's Alex Jones. Neyland got banned off of there. Also, Louis Farrakhan. You would sit there and think, well, what would Farrakhan and Neyland have in common that that they would be banned off of there? Oh, yes, they... They have been critical of the Jews. Imagine that. So, I see some commonality there. Who? Oh, Milo got banned. Now, there's something. We got a guy who's homosexual, degenerate, and a Jew. You would think that this would be like a free pass. Milo would have a free pass. He's got the homosexual card. He's got the Jewish card. You would think that would be a free pass for Milo, but sadly, no. Apparently, the fact that his one stumbling point is he won't openly call for the replacement of white people in their own nations. Sorry, Milo, you get the boot as well. So, yeah, it's just, it's more of the same. And I've sadly, you know, since my social media presence has basically been relegated to Gab, you know, you spend too much time on Gab and it's like, it affects you. You know, it's like, I'm talking about this and I can almost hear like normie cons, you know, a corporation, it's not the government, it's their private company. They can do what they want. Never mind the fact that corporations can't exist without the government. You know, it's essentially, corporations are essentially a government created thing, since it's not just a singular big business, it's a corporation. And a corporation can't exist without the government setting that up for them to be able to exist in that form. But never mind all that. You know, these people believe that corporations are the government. Are like these separate things. Oh, and by the way, I forgot that they're also, corporations are also people. So that, you know, when a corporation can contribute millions of dollars to a politician, that's just like if a person was doing it. But don't worry, because, you know, you have your vote. You've got your vote, you know, so that politician, he's going to listen to you just as much as he listens to this corporation, which happens to also be a person in some, for some reason, somehow, because you've got your one shitty vote. So, yeah, so don't let that get you down. You've got just as much say so because you live under a government for the people and by the people. You got more freedoms. In case you can't tell, I'm in one of those moods this week. So you just got to bear with me. I'll try not to be too much of a wet blanket this week. It's all just so ludicrous, though. You know, it is. It's so ludicrous. I see these people on Gab, and they actually go around thinking they're in the quote-unquote red pill group. You know, yeah, we're red pill. Let me put up this other meme about how all of this started with Obama. Shit. I put out that. So look, if you think all of this, quote unquote, started with Obama and Hillary, and I have bad news for you, you are a normie. You may think you're in the red pill group, but you're not even close. You want to know the level of ridiculousness that I deal with on Gab. I actually had a back and forth with a boomer con this past week who was essentially arguing that the United States should just nuke Russia and China because America, and there's no way they could do anything back to us. I said, yeah, I think some of these boomers, they're just like, well, piss on, I'm going to die soon anyway. And I always wanted to see a nuke go off. Let's do it. Why not? Hell with everybody else. America's just lived this fantasy world. The people here are just so basically retarded. Obviously, I'm not talking about you because you're listening to this show, but I'm just talking about the general population of America. So goddamn retarded that they think that wars, because they haven't had a war on American soil, real war on American soil since the Civil War in the 1800s. So they think war is just like watching the Stanley Cup finals or the Super Bowl, or football, so America goes around and attacks Iraq or Afghanistan, and it's like watching the football season. They watch these different little wars in the Middle East, and only in the football season, if it were like football, America wouldn't even get to the playoffs because their ass loses all of these conflicts. They just drag on and on and on forever, and there's no victory. Of course, the typical neocon or boomer con, normie con, whatever you want to call them, their typical response is it's because the politicians just won't let the military do what needs to be done. And what would that be? Kill all of them? We're supposedly evil right-wing Nazis, and since we don't really support going around and killing everybody, but these cons do. Hey, the military just needs to just wipe them all out. Well, yeah, genocide. What the hell? Why not? Crap, what about bringing them here? Not illegally, but as long as they get that piece of paper, then they can be American just like me. I wouldn't want to be a racist. It's just all so ludicrous. It's just all so ludicrous. I think Gab may be bad for my mental health. I do. I miss Twitter. I really miss Twitter. It was less maddening dealing with leftists. I hate to say it, in a lot of ways, leftists make more sense than a lot of these cons, these normie cons and such. Because aside from big corporations, aside from the fact that they're so indoctrinated on this false doctrine of equality, and that there's no difference between sexes and races and you can be whatever gender you decide you want to be, lunacy. If you take that out of the equation, they at least get things like, big corporations are not my friend. the leftists at least get that, and as far as their support for war, that just tends to go with whoever's in office. If Trump's in office, then war equals bad. If Obama's in office, then war equals okay. But as far as the neocons, as far as the normicons, they seem to be okay with war regardless. I mean, if we're going to war, it must be a good thing because it's the military, and the military is like the holy sainthood of America. So yeah, no, and these getting back to these people's minds, it's like we've had all our regular season, which is going around and attacking little shithole countries around the world, but we need to go to the Super Bowl. And what would be the Super Bowl except war with Russia and China? And we'd surely win because America. I'm rooting for my sports team. The same people that have the mentality, by the way, that when they watch their favorite sports team on TV, and the next day when they go to their normie jobs, and they talk with their coworkers, and they talk about the big game the night before, and they lost, and it's like, we just couldn't get it done. I mean, our offense, we couldn't do, what the hell did you do? You watched it on TV and waved your flag and wore your favorite athlete's jersey and ate hot wings and shitty pizza. I mean, I don't know what you thought you actually did, but they have you couldn't get it done. So yeah, they have that mentality. It's we go to the Super Bowl, even though we've lost every game, America's lost every game in the regular season, but these people think that shouldn't even matter. America needs to go ahead and go to the Super Bowl and have a nuclear war. A nuclear war with Russia and China because it's America, and America should always win. This is the fantasy world that Americans live in. War happens somewhere else. It's something you just watch on TV. It's one of the things I think that as all of this crumbles, I think at some point in time, God's going to give America a good taste of what they've been rooting for everybody else to get a taste of. I said recently up on Gab, I say, all of you who love to chant about God bless America, I hate to tell you, but at this point, the judgment is going to be laid down, you know, and every time you demand that God bless America, all you're doing is further pissing him off. So you really probably should just stop with all of that. Other things you get to put up with by being subjected to Gab is the hero worship of the military. What did I say? You know, if the military is so great, why do recruiters always have to lie? Really, if it's so great. I saw one idiot on there, it's probably been a couple weeks ago, and he stated that, I think everybody ought to have to serve in the military. It's like, why? Why would you think that? Why would you wish that on people? Oh, and they couldn't really even give an answer. You know, it's just because it would make you love America and the greatness of the military that much more if you went through a program that is specifically designed to strip you of all your individual thought, rational thinking, and train you to blindly follow orders, no matter how stupid, retarded, and ridiculous those orders may be. Hell yeah, let's sign everybody up for that shit. But don't go to college, because those are leftist indoctrinations. Those are leftist indoctrination centers. You don't want to go to college, which they are leftist indoctrination centers, but for the conservatives, the military is not, even though you go through a literal brainwashing program to teach you to follow whatever order is handed to you by the government. You know? Because after all, if you went out and just started killing random people, you would be a killer and a murderer, and rightfully you would have to go to jail for that. But if you go to the other side of the world and start killing random people that you don't know, you're a hero because the government told you to go do that. Makes perfect sense to me. I said that here a while back and somebody responded, well, you're oversimplifying. No, I'm not. It's the truth. I mean, the truth is simplistic. The truth is, really it is, the truth is very simplistic. And when people demand, well, you're oversimplifying it, you know, they want to add a bunch of justifications because they don't like what the truth says. When people don't like what the truth says, they've got to pile on all of this pseudo-psychology and reasoning and nuance to help you. No, it's the truth. The truth is, when you strip it down to your bare bones, if you go to the other side of the world and kill random people that haven't done anything to you, by the way, but the government told you to do that, then you're a hero. It's a-okay. But, if you go around and, like, you know some guy in your personal life who's a real asshole, and you wake up one day and decide that asshole needs killing, you go kill that person, you know, they tell you, that's never the answer, no matter what they did. Killing people's never the answer. Here, join the military. The only answer is to go to the other side of the world and kill these people you don't know. You're oversimplifying, Grandpa Lampshade. You're just oversimplifying. You don't understand the nuance of my heroes. And they're fighting for my freedom. That's my other favorite. I told one of them the other day, I said, yes, thank goodness, if it wasn't for the military, we'd all be speaking Vietnamese today. You just appreciate the freedom you have because the military, what does the military ever, what freedoms has the military defended in the past, I don't know, 100 years? 200 years? I don't know. I can't think of a single war that actually had shit to do with my freedoms. You can say, like I say, this is the unhealthy state of being on Gab too much. It's kind of like the ones on Gab too that are like gun worshipers. The fact that they own their guns is like, that means my freedom's secure. I got my guns. Okay. And those same people are always almost like to the T. Every one of them are badge lickers. They love my police blue. You can picture them. They're the ones that drive around town with Blue Lives Matter on their, or I bleed blue because I support my police on their back window. And it never dawns on them, as much as they're so paranoid that the government is someday going to come for their guns, which I argue they're not. They don't need to. All they have to do is say it's legal and they'll go along with whatever crap they shove down their throats as long as they don't threaten to take their guns. I mean, the dumbest thing the government could do would be to try to come after these idiots' guns because they're compliant. I mean, they'll go along with anything as long as it's the law. They're still bought into. They're still bought into that even though the corporations or billionaires could buy off politicians with millions of dollars, they have an equal say because of their one shitty single vote. As long as it's passed into law, if they passed it in and made it a law that they had to send their kids or grandkids to a school where they, I don't know, all the classes are taught by drag queens, they'd go along with it because it's the law. But don't threaten my guns. Don't threaten my guns. But on the off chance that the government did decide one day, you know what? We're going to go ahead and take my guns away from them. I mean, who do these people think that the government's going to send to take their guns? It's going to be their police that they also love so much. All the contradiction because it's all a lie. Everything. We live in a society of lies. The whole world, this whole society is based. Everything is a lie. Virtually everything is a lie. And you'll find that when you become a truth teller, you'll find real quick that how that is the case. And that's why you have to be shut down. That's why you must be attacked. You must be silenced. You must be made an example of. There was a deal going around. People were talking about some woman I never heard of. And she was supposedly in the alt-right and had made racist memes and everything. But she's reformed now and she's warning these people, get out while you still can. There were a lot of people. I have no idea who this is. Like everybody was pointing out, you know, who the hell is this? Just some random person, I guess. But yeah, and a lot of people were critical. I'm assuming it's even real. I mean, assuming this isn't just somebody they picked at random to go out and say this stuff that, you know, none of it's true, because again, everything's a lie. They feed us so much bullshit every day that I wouldn't put it past them to just hire a random actress or something to come out and say this stuff. But assuming for the minute that it is true, we'll just take it at face value. And a lot of people are critical. There's like, you know, what a traitor, you know, and a traitor if this person really supposedly. And you know, here I am. I'm sympathetic, you know, as somebody that's gone through the things that I've gone through, which I assume those of you know about all that by now. I haven't been living under a rock. I'm sympathetic. This shit isn't fun. Having your life destroyed really isn't very much fun. You know, not knowing if you're going to be able to pay the bills every week isn't a whole lot of fun. I'll be honest, it kind of sucks. And I try not to talk about that too much because I know the leftists squeal with like an orgasmic glee when they hear that, you know, but it's true. And I think people are, I don't know, to be quick to judge somebody that says, yeah, no, I don't want to be a part of that. But at the same time, you know, they always talk about, getting people to renounce their beliefs, you know, namely people on the right. You need to renounce your beliefs. But how do you do that when your beliefs are the truth? And that's the whole rub, isn't it? You know, you have these, they talk about, we're going to reform these people. We're going to get them to renounce their beliefs. But when your beliefs are the truth, they're telling you to go along with the lie, aren't they? If there's anything I've said or permitted that is not true, please be sure and point it out, because honestly, I mean, really, if it's not true, I'll be glad if you can show me the facts where it's not true. I'll be more than happy to modify that position to change that belief, because I'm always striving to find the truth in everything. And there's been several times in my life that I believed one thing, and then as new information came in and I looked at that, investigated it, and looked to see what the truth of it is, I had to modify that a little bit because it wasn't lined up with the truth. I'm all about the truth. So if anything, but they can't. And this gets to the heart of all these shutdowns and everything else. They can't counter it. They can't counter your beliefs when they're based in truth. That's why they have to shut you down. They can't enter into the realm of political discussion. You always talk about, you know, this serves as this public square where we have free speech, supposedly, on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But it's not, because they have to throw you off the street corner and preferably in front of a moving bus. And the simple reason is because they can't counter your facts, because your facts are hate facts. They're still truth, but it doesn't matter. They can't counter them. So they have to be demonized. You have to be demonized, and you have to be shut down. I was thinking about this a little bit before we started our visit this today, and I was I was always thinking of that episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where Picard gets like captured by the Cardassian, and there's like five lights. I don't remember how many lights. We'll say five lights, and the Cardassian keeps trying to get him to say there's four lights. There's how many lights? And he's like, well, there's five lights, and they torture him. And, you know, then they have this long discussion and argument. And then they ask him again, how many lights? There's four lights, aren't there? No, there's five lights. They torture him some more. And so on and so on it goes. And the idea is to finally get him to submit and admit that there's only four lights when there are indeed actually five lights. It's kind of makes me think of that. You know, you'll be tortured and punished and ostracized or whatever they can do to you until you will renounce your beliefs. And even then, they're probably still going to torture you some more, so it doesn't even matter. They don't even offer that carrot, really. But the whole idea is that regardless of the fact that there's five lights, you need to say that there's four. You need to renounce your beliefs. Even though they're true, you need to embrace the lie and submit, and then maybe, just maybe, we won't torture you, at least not as much. Obviously, they can't go out and out and torture you yet. I mean, they would if they could. They're trying to figure out a way. That's why all this moves towards labeling anything pro-right, anything nationalist, anything like that as quote-unquote terrorists. And those of us that were kind of in the Ron Paul camp back around in the early 2000s, you know, we were sounding the alarm with all these stupid Patriot Acts and this stuff here, because all the idiots were going along going, well, you know, this is just going to be used against the Middle Eastern terrorists. We were like, yeah, no, they're going to get around to using it on everybody, anybody who dissents from the government. And sure shit, that proved to be right. And that's what they're moving towards now. That's why they're throwing the terrorist word around when they talk about us. It's like talking about the Facebook bannings. Yeah, missing from the list of prominent people being banned. I didn't see any leftists being banned. Funny how that works, isn't it? That's why they throw the terrorist word around, because eventually the plan is to be able to, for those of you that they can't intimidate, that they can't browbeat down to say there's four lights when there's indeed five, you'll get to go to some place like Guantanamo Bay and you'll be waterboarded until you eventually do agree that there's four lights instead of five. They won't see the light of day until you're willing to just go ahead and go, and just say whatever you've got to say to be left alone, to maybe get out of there. Oh, you're being over the top, Grandpa Lampshade. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do a thing like that. Yeah, no, yeah, surely. Yeah, they're absolutely trustworthy. You're right. I'm just, there's another one of those crazy conspiracy theories. Kind of like when they were tearing down Confederate statues, and I'm like, you know, they're coming for Jefferson and the Founding Fathers next. And I read a story this past week. College diversity group of some sort demands that just Thomas Jefferson's statue be ripped down because of my slavery and my oppression. Right again. Boy, what the hell do I know? Hey, repost this meme if you think Hillary is ought to be in jail, because that'll be... Really, I think Gab is poor. I think overexposure to Gab is a bad thing for your mental well-being. But that's the only platform left that I can't be banned off of. So yeah, there we go. I mean, that's we get what we get. But now, you know, these people that do get targeted or whatever, and you know, they basically bow out. They're like, they bow to it and they say, you know, hey, yeah, I renounce all of it, whatever the hell, you know, y'all should renounce it too. No more of this. Yeah, I know, you know, again, people would think of me, of all people, I would be like, you know, well, I'm doing my best to hang tough with the truth. Why aren't these people? But again, I get it. You know, I do. I get it. I guess I'm, I don't know, maybe I'm a softy. I'm somewhat sympathetic, I guess. Sympathetic. I do, because I do. It works. It's not hard to figure out why they do these things. It isn't. I see, I've had people in our own circles in so many words be like, you know, don't associate me with any of your stuff because I don't want to be a target. And that's why they do what they do. It's an intimidation. I very much know and understand my role of being made an example of. And yeah, you know, so somebody that doesn't want to go through that, who am I to judge them? You know, I get it. It's why the tactic works, you know. Anyway, not to worry, because I'm sure Trump is going. is going to turn it all around. You've got to trust the plan. You got to trust the plan. Any day now, any day that swamp's going to be drained, the wall's going to be built, and yeah, we just got to be patient and wait for the next Q posting. Enough of that. Let's go ahead and start getting in here and fill. Let's get in here and fill these pews. Let's go ahead and get into this week's sermon here in the centerpiece of the show, the Church of the Lampshade. For those of you not sticking around, hope you enjoyed the pre-sermon visit. You're always welcome. I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, well, you know, I'm not one of the Christians, but I always stick around for the sermon. I sit in the back of the church. You know, that's fine. You're welcome to do that. Really, everybody's welcome to sit in and you know, hear the word. So get on in here, fill those pews. I'll go up here to the pulpit. That's right. We're going to go ahead and get into this week's sermon here in the Church of the Lampshade. And as I said at the top of the show, we're going to kind of do a couple different things here. I want to continue our Meaning of Life series as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes. But I thought we'd also share another word. There was somebody, speaking of retarded crap on Gab earlier, there was some, people put some crap up like, pray for America. You know, God bless America. We need to pray for our nation and our troops who are fighting for our freedom. And I put up a screen like, I got bad news for you, you know. And as the response, you know, I posted up the scripture that basically says they'll be saying peace. There's not going to be any peace because God's judgment's against the land. And the person came back and said, well, isn't that scripture for people that don't know the Lord? I'm like, no, I'm sorry, but I don't find any biblical foundation for the notion of the rapture. We've covered that previous times before. No, you don't get an, I'm sorry, even as a believer, you don't get like a get out of shitty stuff free card. In fact, it seems to be our role to go through the shitty stuff. And I thought we'd kind of do a little quick word about that, because people do the people that believe in that somehow that when things look like they're going to be, Jesus is going to come and say, okay, y'all don't have to go through that. That's too big. Y'all can get a no. No, you don't get a get out of the crappy stuff free card. And likewise, kind of in the same vein with people that talk about, you know, I'm looking forward to all of this kicking off. I'm looking forward to complete societal collapse. I always think, what do you think that looks like? I mean, why would you look forward to that? As somebody said the other day, somebody said, you know, the zombie apocalypse is pretty fun in video games, but I don't really have a desire to live through it. And I'm pretty much of that same mind. I kind of thought we'd throw a little scripture in there to go along with that. We'll do the book of Amos. There's a book you don't ever hear about very well. Amos. Book of Amos, chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Doesn't really sound like something to look forward to. We'll continue on. I hate I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Now, you may be sitting here going, what the hell does this have to do with anything, Reverend Lampshade? Nobody does, like, animal offerings anymore. But it is very, very relevant, because all of the, think of it in terms of all of these people that keep saying, God bless America, God bless America, and just keep praying for America, for our leaders and our government and our military, and keep offering up prayer, because America is still the most Christian nation on the earth. If you think of it in that context, I hate and I despise your feast days. I will not hear your words. I'm not going to listen to your offerings anymore. I'm turning completely against you. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chaim and your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore, I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Not going to listen to you. Judgment is run upon you because you've turned away from righteousness. This nation lives on lies. They bow at the altars of their various false gods.
What are you talking about? False gods.
There's so many. There's a false god of equality. They bow at the altar of all of these lies. They claim to be Christian, and yet they worship the government. They worship the Constitution. They worship the founding fathers as saints. They worship any number of things. Mostly, they worship man. They worship themselves. They worship their money. Make no mistake. The day of the Lord is darkness. It is not light. Judgment will come down upon. And I would encourage you to pray that God will remember his people in these times of judgment. I mean, perhaps he will deliver the remnant of his people from some of this unpleasantry. But make no mistake, it's coming. He's not going to deliver the wicked land. All we can do is pray that he will deliver his people, the remnant of his people, out as he delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. But he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He delivered Lot out. He said, okay, this is a one guy. I'm going to go ahead and get this guy out of here. But the judgment's coming. If Lot would have said, I ain't leaving. I don't care what you do. I'm staying. Because these people are my friends. You know, I'm a righteous guy and all. And yeah, they're a bunch of sodomites and they do all these horrible, wicked things. But they're still my friends and I'm going to stay here. God would have burned his ass up too. The judgment was coming. I mean, that was set in stone. The fire and brimstone was coming down. Yeah, he gave Lot the opportunity to say, yeah, okay, I'm going to get this guy out of here. But make no mistake, if Lot would have refused to leave, it was the hellfire and brimstone was coming. So you know, that judgment was set. It made a lot plain. Don't destroy this place. They're actually good people. No, they're not. They're wicked. They don't like righteousness. They have no righteousness in them. There is no justice. There is no good in them. God is bringing his judgment down. Don't waste your prayers that God's going to save America in its current form, because it's not going to happen. That judgment is lined up. The cup of his wrath is filling to the very top. The best you could do is pray for your fellow believers in Christ that he will remember you and hopefully somehow spare us some of this. Anyway, but don't delude yourself into thinking we're getting some sort of get out of this stuff free card. It's coming one way or the other. It's coming one way or the other. Let's go ahead and continue our meaning of life series out of the book of Ecclesiastes. As just like we talked about last week, I'm Actually, for this series, I'm using the New International Version just because we're trying to kind of cover a lot of territory and getting bogged down in the Old English. In this particular case, I don't really think is necessary. I think we can get what we want to get out of it by doing this. So, you know, yeah, bear with me on that. And again, the Book of Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books as far as whenever people say, you know, ask me like the meaning of life or something, I usually point them to this because it's not a long book. And it really kind of, I mean, as far as your life here on this earth, I mean, it really cuts to the chase of it. So we did chapters, let's see here, chapter 1 and 2. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and start with 3 this week. If we have time, we'll get to 4. We'll just kind of play it by ear and see how that goes. So Ecclesiastes, starting here in chapter 3. This is the part that always makes you think of that song, you know. For every season, turn. Okay, there is a time. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Hey, make no bones about the fact I hate the fact. For those of us who are Gen X, right? I had this session the other day. One of the things, like the younger people, I talk about, you know, that were born, you know, to where this is kind of this current status quo is all they know. You know, those of you that are like that, you're younger than I am, and this is all you've known, and you're like, golly, you know, things are so shitty. It's been shitty here my whole life. Hey, look at all this. They've been shoving this down our throats my whole life. But for those of us that are, say, Gen X, we can remember a time. I remember when I was a young person in the 80s and or even the early 90s and stuff, and we had like hope that, you know, we were going to financially do better. It was a misplaced hope, obviously. Obviously, we were going to financially prosper. Our lives were going to be better. You know, you have all these. Some of that just comes with youth, you know. But I see that so much of the youth today don't have that. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, everybody when they're 19, you know, they imagine that in, you know, by the time they're 30, they're going to have the world by the short ones and everything. But now so much of that's lost. But for those of us with a few years on, so we can remember when things were better. And some of that's just, you know, you reminisce and you think they were better when they weren't, but no, they were. A lot of things were better. I mean, there wasn't this constant antagonism towards the native white population of America. I mean, we were actually treated with a little respect back then. That was nice. We weren't going, nobody was going around trying to oppress people of color. But yeah, we were actually treated with some respect. The government actually semi-functioned. They, at least Congress, actually passed bills and stuff. They don't do that now. They just hold hearings and investigations now and jockey for position. But the point is that you go through, and I sit here and I often think, and I imagine many of you do too, you look around and you're like, why are we having to live through this shitty time? I think of the people when the Red Army marched through Europe and the horrible destruction and the just terrible, terrible things that happened to the people. I mean, they no doubt didn't want that. The point is, you don't get a choice. You get the time that you're born into. You get the days that you get. I mean, that's just it. You don't get a control over it. You don't get to live in Utopia America. You get to live in collapsing society America, end stage America. You get to live on the bright side. Not everybody gets to eyewitness, you know, an empire collapsing, and you get to see that firsthand. So you'll get to write the history books on that. Well, maybe if you're not in Guantanamo Bay or some shit being waterboarded. Let's continue. Let's continue. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. You just got to try to find some happiness where you're at. We're set. Everybody has it. It's in the hearts of men. Eternity is set in the hearts of men. Now, people seek that. People have this empty spot, this yearning for eternity, and we turn to God. Some people refuse to turn to God, but that empty spot is still there, and they turn to other things trying to fill it. They either are incapable of it, or they just simply harden their hearts and will not turn towards God to try to fill that empty place. So they turn towards other things, and usually those things wind up virtually every single time being self-destructive. But life is essentially about you work through life. You work, you toil for everything you get. You toil for what little piece of this world you get, and then you die. So the best thing you can do is try to find some happiness while you can. Be glad in your heart. Eat, drink a little bit. Enjoy life what you can, because you're going to die. Let's continue here. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate's like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from the dust, and to the dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Once again, I mean, when you get down to it, you don't share a different fate. For those of you who are hunters, you know, and you go deer hunting or whatever, you know, and you shoot the deer and you go out there and you go up, you get this deer. But the same, you know, now the deer's laying there dead. The day will come and it'll be you. I mean, maybe hopefully somebody hasn't shot you. But the point is that at some point you're going to die, too. No, your fate is no different. It'll be covered here numerous times, but the fate of the rich man, the fate of the king, the fate of the wealthy, and the fate of the powerful is no different than the fate of the homeless man. And you can even take it a step further. Man is so arrogant. Man thinks that he is the end all of everything. And yep, your fate is no different than that of the mouse that you keep trying to catch in your house that's scurrying around. Ultimately, your fates are the same. Your fate is to live for a little while on this earth, and then you'll go back to the earth. You're going to be dead. Let's go ahead. I think we got plenty of time here. We're going to go into chapter 4. Again, I looked, and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead, who had already died, were happier than the living, who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. And you look at great injustice and how it's always the wealthy and the powerful that get quote unquote justice. For the poor, they are oppressed. The blacks go on about how it's unfair that, you know, so many blacks are in prison. Well, setting aside for the moment that, you know, they claim it's for the racism. Well, setting aside for the moment that it's largely due to the fact that blacks are committing a disproportionate amount of the crime. But setting it aside, no, the injustice, the inequality in the justice system isn't about race. It's about money. I mean, if you get ground up in the justice system as a poor white person, you ain't going to be any better off than a poor black person because you don't have money. If you don't have money, you don't have power. There is no justice. There's only oppression. Your court appointed attorney, he's having to write this off. He's trying to get it done with as soon as possible. That's why they always just try to work out a plea deal. Your court-appointed attorney isn't going to work tirelessly to get you off because he realizes that you're an innocent man. He doesn't give a shit that you're innocent. He's going to try to get you to cop a plea deal, and he's going to tell you this is the best you're going to get because he isn't getting paid for it. The inequality in the justice system isn't about race. It's about finances. If you're an innocent white person or an innocent black person, if you don't have money, guess what? You're probably going to do time. And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. One of the things I love about the book of Ecclesiastes is the overriding theme in a lot of areas here is moderation, is not too much of one or the other, not to be to the extreme. Here, the fool folds his hands and ruins himself. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Also, he says that the teacher says, and I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. You put all that together. So on the one extreme, the fool does nothing. The fool sits there and basically does nothing and achieves nothing. But at the same time, you look at people, we'll say like the Clintons, for example. They have more money than they're going to ever spend in their life. They have more money than their kids will ever spend in their life. They have more money than their grandkids will ever spend in their life. They enjoy great power. And yet what? It's never enough. I mean, even more, they clamor for more, 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 more. It's like madness. They clamor for more. So you see, you don't want to be the extreme. You don't want to just sit there and your life rot away because you won't do anything. You won't try to achieve anything. You don't try to accomplish anything. But at the same time, you don't want to serve money and status to the point that you also ruin yourself. You chase after the wind for this meaningless thing, because in the end, the story always ends the same. You wreck yourself by running around and just constantly chasing money and power and influence and these things that you think are important. But in the end, you're going to go on the ground and they're going to mean nothing. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You may be tempted, as I am, to be, as I call it, hermit mode. I get tempted to what I call hermit mode. And hermit mode is just basically, I don't even want to be around people. I don't really even want to talk to people. I don't have anything to do with them. I want to retreat to the mountainside and watch it all burn. But this is not a good thing. It is not a good thing. It doesn't make you better. And we're warned of this here in this scripture. I think it's interesting that one of the tactics that our enemies use when they target you, they pick you out, they target you, and they attempt to isolate you. This is what they do. Trust me, I speak from firsthand experience. The first thing they attempt to do is to marginalize you and then isolate you from any support. They want to isolate you. They want to pull you away. And it's a very tempting thing to fall into when you go under one of these attacks, for instance, if you're doxxed. And it can be very tempting to just put your head down and wait for it to all go away. Just to, you're afraid to say anything. You're afraid to do anything. You just put my head down and hope that it all goes away. But that gives them power over you. And we're told here in this scripture, the two are stronger than one. If you find yourself in a situation where you are targeted, understand this. They attempt to isolate you. They want you as isolated as possible. And that's where you need to counter their strategy. It's very tempting, very, very tempting to put your head down, just wait, just hope it all goes away. It's just weather the storm, and then maybe you can come out on the other side somehow, some way. That's what they want. They want you to isolate yourself. And that's not a good thing. If you're going to counter it, you need to counter the isolation move, which means you need to interact with other people, even if it's online. You know, better yet, if it's in real life, but even if it's simply online, you don't want to allow them to isolate you. Two are stronger than one. People get in weird places mentally when they get too isolated. You do. I mean, you go out, if you ever go out like to the desert and there's like people that live out there and there's like an old rickety, like 1964 RV trailer with no tires on it, and they live in that sumbitch and they shit in the backyard. You know, they just dig a hole and they shit in the sand back there. And those people are always strange. You know, they're recluses and they live out there and they don't deal with people. And if you like get lost or you're hiking and you say, "Hey, what's over there?" and you go hiking up there, they might kill you and bury you in the sand because they're kind of strange. They're kind of strange because man's not made to be isolated. Not made to be alone. We're pack creatures or herd creatures, as the case may be, however you want to look at it, depending, I guess, on your mindset, whether we're pack creatures or herd creatures. It's kind of like our teeth. You know, man is like the only animal that has both vegetative, you know, teeth for chewing vegetables and teeth for meat. You know, like if you look at a horse or cow, their teeth are set up strictly for vegetables. They can't eat meat. They couldn't eat meat if they wanted to because they don't have the proper teeth. Where if you look at wolves, for instance, or dogs or even cats, they have carnivore teeth. Their teeth are set up in a way where they can eat meat. That's it. They, you know, they go out there and chew a piece of grass and throw it up, but their teeth are set up to eat meat because that's what they're designed to do. But man is set up to eat both. You have teeth for chewing vegetables. You have teeth for eating meat. Well, likewise, it's like people have to be around other people. Now, some people are more like carnivores. So you would say it's a pack mentality. While the sheep, they're like the herbivores, but it's a herd mentality. But in the end, it's the same. People are kind of meant. We're just kind of programmed. You've got to have interaction with other people. And in the end, we're being told here, you don't want to be alone. You don't want to be alone. You're going to be stronger if you have other people that you can draw on. Other people you can draw strength from. Let's go ahead and finish out chapter 4 here. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning. The youth may have come from prison to the kingship, or he may have been born in poverty within his kingdom. I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth, the king's successor. There was no end to all the people who were before him, but those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I think that bears repeating a little bit there. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning, how to take counsel, how to listen when people are sounding the alarm. Because what? You're the king. You're arrogant. You think it's all, it'll just all go the way you want it to go. Better to be a foolish, poor youth than to be a king who cannot accept wise counsel. So, in just these two chapters, once again, we have to understand that you're born into the times you're born into. We can be not happy with that, but it doesn't change the fact you're born into the season that you're born into. You don't want to wreck yourself with foolishness at the same time. You don't want to fail to grasp and get what enjoyment you can out of this life because you're so preoccupied with keeping up with the Joneses, with chasing after, with envy of your neighbor. You want to have more than the next guy. You want to have more than the guy next door. You want to have more, and you wind up just chasing after these things your whole life, and you never get to stop and enjoy it. You get a short time on this life. You better be able to stop and enjoy. You better be able to stop and just enjoy a meal, enjoy your drink, enjoy the moment, because it's fleeting. You don't want to isolate yourself. Two are stronger than one. And maybe times that you really just don't want to deal with people, period. But in the end, you are stronger. Two are stronger than one. If two is stronger than one, then five are stronger than two. Don't push people away. You will be ultimately harming yourself in so doing. Look, it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in wondering, you know, is this right? Am I doing the right thing here? Should I be doing this? I don't know. I don't know how y'all are. I do this constantly, by the way. I'm constantly questioning myself. Should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Should I be attempting this? Should I stop doing this? Should I do this over here? What is the right thing I should be doing? And it's easy to get bogged down in all that, but understand in the end, it's meaningless. The things that you think are a big deal in your life, they're meaningless. You're going to be dead. Nobody's going to remember what was important to you. As we learn here, as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes, whether you're poor, whether you're wealthy, if you build great monuments, let me ask you, who built the Washington Monument? Anybody have any idea? Here it is. I mean, it's a tourist attraction. It's this huge thing. Who built it? Nobody knows. There may be somebody somewhere who could look it up. I mean, that's fine. But the point is, nobody knows. Whether you make great accomplishments or little accomplishments, it doesn't matter. You get a fleeting time on this earth, and you better understand that that time is fleeting. It is short. The things that you think are these huge problems, nobody's going to remember your concerns when you're dead. If you deprive yourself of all enjoyment of life because you think you're making some great sacrifice, nobody cares. Nobody's going to care. You're just giving up that little bit of fleeting time that you get on this earth. For what? And you're giving up that fleeting time, that little bit of enjoyment you could have received. You're not enjoying it at all. Why? Because you're chasing what your neighbor has? Because you want more? You see the insanity. If you don't enjoy anything of life, whether it's because you refuse to do it, you refuse to make any initiative, or whether you're never satisfied no matter what you have, both are madness and both are meaningless. Because in the end, this life will be over. The things that you built, somebody else will enjoy them. And after a few more years, no one will even remember that it was you who built them. Whether you have much, whether you have little, you got to try to find some sort of enjoyment out of this time you have. And I think it's a funny thing because as we wrap up here, one of the things I've noticed about Christians is we tend to get this mindset. I don't know. We get this mindset that, like, if you, some people do anyway, I guess, that, like, if you enjoy life, that somehow you're, like, less of a Christian, you're less of a good person, you're less righteous, you know, if you're miserable. You know people like that. If you're not like that, you know people like that, right? If you're happy, if you enjoy anything in life, then somehow you're just not righteous, you know, because they read about the early church or the early apostles, and man, those guys went to prison and they suffered and they died, you know. So you've got to, like, suffer and die. Otherwise, you're not a good person. And that's just, you know, you get the role, you get the season that you are given. You live in the time that you live in. Whether you have much, whether you have little, you best try to enjoy what you've got in the short time that it's given to you. We're going to wrap up this week. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Hope you enjoyed this week's sermon. I don't know next week if we're going to continue. I mean, we're going to finish this, our Ecclesiastes series, one way or the other. As I said last week, we may do like we did this week and kind of do a little both, touch on some other scripture, another topic, and then get into this. Or we may just do this, or we may skip this next week and do a whole nother Christian message. I don't know. We'll just see what comes about. But whatever comes about, you can bet that we'll be here on Tuesday on Radio Arian for the Church of the Lampshade. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Me too.